It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We're going to study in the book of Romans. We're in the 14th chapter. We're going to finish it up with verse 22 and 23 and then get on into chapter 15. And we're going to read down through the 13th verse of that chapter. So please, that you'd open your Bibles, if you possibly can, and enjoy the study by following along with us. If not, just please listen very carefully. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to call us, you can call us at area code 217-847-2717. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it's Parkview Bible, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. So parkviewbiblechurch.org will get you there. Many studies that we can enjoy the Word of God and hope that you would enjoy it. Come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and then also continue to grow as we study together. And if you'd like to email us, why, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It's always wonderful to come to enjoy the precious Word of God. And so now we'll begin to read Romans chapter 14, verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Chapter 15, Romans 15, 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves, for every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That ends the reading this morning, and so please that we go now to the Lord in prayer so that we can begin this study. Father, thank you for the opportunity to enjoy this precious word. It is so wonderful to be able to read and have it in our hands and to study it as this scripture so clearly says in that fourth verse, for our learning and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope. Oh, Father, thank you that the Spirit of God can take your precious word and just continue to build us up and to grow us. But of course, first of all, it brings us to salvation. We must know your Son, the Lord Jesus, as our personal Savior. It's not a religion that I belong to. I have a relationship with my God. I have a relationship, a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you for that opportunity, and thank you that we can continue to walk each and every day serving you and praising you. Now, Father, please just open our eyes and our ears today, that we may come to know you as our Savior, because, Father, we know that your Son died on the cross. You sent him to the cross, bearing all of our sins, boring all of our sins, all of them. Not for himself. It was our sins that nailed him to the cross. It was our sins that he died for. And I thank and praise you that death had no victory there, because your Son Jesus came out of that grave 3 days later. All we need to do is accept that free gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Father. Now please speak to our hearts today now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing the last chapter, and it was so important that we understand, and it does kind of continue there in the 15th chapter, that we have great liberties as a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have wonderful, wonderful liberties. But when that liberty begins to cause a brother or sister to stumble because they don't recognize it as a liberty. They recognize it as something different than that because they haven't grown. Once they enjoy the Word and enjoy the freedom and the joy of that salvation gives, the wisdom that God gives us through His Word, they will recognize that wait a minute, I'm not bound by that law. I have liberty. And, of course, they were concerned about the meat is kind of where they dealt with this. But it can be many things. And so as believers, we need to see that what we do and what we say does not cause a brother or sister to stumble. We may have the liberty to say it. We may have the liberty to do it. And it's nothing against our God. And yet, if we're not careful, we could cause a brother or sister to stumble because they don't recognize it as something that they can do. They look at it as they're bound by a law or bound by something they don't understand. And so we need just to take our time and help those brothers and sisters to grow and get beyond that point. And this at the end here is, you know, kind of a summary of that, because if we do something knowing that it's going to cause a brother or sister to stumble, it's a liberty that we have, but it's the brother or sister doesn't understand that. You know, we need to walk by faith. And if you go against our conscience, something that God has shown us, you know, He has taken and shown us a sister or a brother that doesn't understand that. And so we need to recognize that, and we need to not go against the will of God, do not go against our judgment, go against our conscience, because if we do, then we will face judgment. Now, we have talked about and had a real good study concerning the judgment seat of Christ, which is for the believers, and the great white throne judgment, which is for the lost. Now, if you happen to miss the last study, you can find those in two areas. 1 Corinthians 3, that'd be 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. It gives a good description about the wood, hay, and stubble, and gold and precious stones, and then it's all tested by fire. and yet saved, so as by fire. And then come down to 2 Corinthians 5:10 speaks of the judgment seat of Christ, and that is for the believers. And then we get to the great white throne judgment, and we read that out of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. So if you'd like to look that back up and read that and enjoy that. But so understand that when we're talking about a judgment here, we're talking about a father bringing some chastisement to his son or daughter because of an action or something they have done that was wrong. Again, it may not have been anything wrong in the sight and the eyes of God, but because a believer is young and doesn't understand it, causes them to stumble, then we need to have a soft heart for them. We need to watch and to listen. And don't say, well, I can do that because, you know, I have the right to do that. Well, you do have the right. But as a believer, and if you've got that kind of an attitude, I would question that you're a mature believer, because you're not. Because of a believer that is born again and is grown and is strong as an adult, they, and I'm not talking age, I'm talking maturity, they will understand that I am willing not to do that because it would cause my brother or sister to fall. And so please, that we, when you look at that, why just understand that. So it is important that we walk by faith. If we go against the will of God, go against our conscience as God has shown us, then we will have to face some kind of judgment. And so we need to understand that we will face some kind of judgment there. And so now that is the summary, and I'll just read it for you. Hast thou faith? We're verse 22 of chapter 14 of Romans. Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. And that's just exactly what we're talking about. You don't do something that God has instructed you not to do, even though between you and your God, between our Savior, there's nothing wrong with it. But the problem is that if it causes someone to stumble, then there is a problem with it. And you need to be very sensitive. You need to see that. You need to hear those things. And so, and then in verse 23, he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not faith is sin. So it all works together in that explanation there, I believe. And so on to verse 1 now of chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Much the same way, much the same situation. We should operate and function as a believer out of love of the brother. We should have such a love for the brother that if there's something that causes a problem, that we see that we will help them to see through that problem. You know, it's not that you just stop doing something and never do it the rest of your life because your brother or sister might not understand and may stumble because of it. It is our responsibility to help them to grow, to help them to see that liberty that they can have. It's wrong if we just stop doing it, you know, so that they don't stumble, which is correct, but just to end there, that's not right. We need to see that when we're helping folks and teaching folks, and you do that by word and you do that by deed, both. And it says, then we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You know, a young Christian, they don't have the strength, and so we need to pick them up. And there may be all kinds of situations here. We think mostly, and first of all, would be a spiritual weakness that they have, that they just don't understand, and we need to help them, to pick them up. But sometimes it could be a physical infirmity as well, and it doesn't matter because we need to be there. We need to pick them up and lift them up and help them all we can. Now, sometimes people can't be helped. You ask them and you talk to them and you fellowship with them and try, especially if they're here locally now and they've just gotten saved, and you try your best to bring them into the house of God, that we can study the Word of God together and grow together and enjoy that peace and joy together. And, you can beg about so long, and they just do not respond. And it's sad, because they are missing all the blessings. And so we just need to serve out of love. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Do you notice that it's not about me? It's all about you. And how would this life be, and how would this world be, if everyone did the same thing? If it was not about them, but it was about someone else that they had come in contact with. And these two verses here are just very clear. And then it even says in verse 3, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproach of them that reproached thee fell on me." Jesus Christ did not go to the cross of Calvary. He did not come and live up on this earth to satisfy himself. No, he did it to satisfy his Father. He was obedient to God his Father. He is God the Son, Jesus. We have God the Holy Spirit. Three, yet one. We speak of the Trinity, and yet they're equal. They're one. Jesus came to this earth, lived here 33 years, was falsely accused in the trial, was stated to be condemned, and was taken out, nailed to a cross, and died. Shed his blood. That was not for him. And he didn't do it for him. Jesus didn't do it for himself. He did it because his Father asked him. And he followed his will of his Father. And the blessings was ours, because we have an opportunity of salvation. So once again, as we look at these first three verses of chapter 15, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." It's not about me. And boy, today's world is contrary to that. It's all about me. I'm going to do this because I want this. And if I do this, I can get this. It's all about me. That's what today's society is about. That's the only thing the devil can teach you, is to be selfish and prideful and self-centered. But no, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about you. We do these radio programs so that you find the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love serving him and praising him. The joy and the peace and the strength and the wisdom that he gives me is beyond measure. I have it. I love it. I want you to have it. It's the reason we do these radio programs, so that you can enjoy it. So that you can enjoy it. Again, I know that we read this many times, but it's it's even Christians, many born-again believers, get caught up in patting themselves on the back and satisfying their own wishes and will, and they do not surrender unto the Lord and really receive the blessings that is offered. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification, to the building up, strengthening. That's where the blessing comes from, when you look at a brother or sister, and because of the love that Christ has given you and you have shown them, you have watched them to become strong and growing, and they too are helping others to come to know the Lord Jesus, and then to have this peace and joy. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Be saved. Come by faith to Jesus. You must be born again, John chapter 3 tells us. So please come by faith to Jesus today, and then begin this walk. And you're going to find that things begin to change. And again, if you are a born-again believer, and you've gotten caught up in self-centeredness and pride and things like that, you're not happy. You want the joy. Then you begin to help others. If you pour out your heart and help others, that's what it's all about as a believer. Jesus died for us, and we're to praise and honor him. And we praise and honor him by lifting up our brothers and sisters. So please, listen to these words. Verse 4, Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What wonderful words! The Scripture in its completeness, and you know that I stand for the old King James, and you're not going to get me off of that, because it is the best, it's the most powerful, and please that you return to it if you've left it. If you're a preacher and you're starting to have the folks at church change to other Scripture, please don't. I just beg you, don't. Stay with the old King James and speak the precious word. The things were written aforetime, and what was the purpose of their writings was for learning. And we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I love the Word of God. I love studying the Word of God. I enjoy many opportunities every week to teach the Word of God, and it's a joy. It's a joy to talk to folks about the Lord Jesus. It's a joy to tell them about salvation that can be had. There is not one radio program. There's not one Sunday school lesson. There's not one Wednesday night or Sunday night Bible study. There's not one Sunday morning sermon that I've preached that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus wasn't clearly stated. Because that's it. That's everything. And once you come by faith to Jesus, go to the Word of God. Go to that old King James Bible. You may have to go back to your mother or grandmother or grandfather to find it. Because today it's not very common. But they can be bought. They can be found. You need to find them and open them and study them and search them and enjoy them. What a blessing. What a blessing. This was written for our learning. This was written that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. We just continue to to work together in growing. And as we grow, as we move forward each day, we develop not only a greater love for our God, but also a greater love for the church, the brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as they have need or as they need to be comforted for something, we are there to comfort them. And we desire that we have this the patience that is necessary. And this word consolation here in this fifth verse, the patience and consolation is comfort and exhortation. Comfort and exhortation. And so we are here in this fifth verse. Now the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. Everything is set up on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we cannot have unity. A lot of people try their best to not preach the gospel. It's hard to imagine that they do, but many churches do not preach the gospel. And then many organizations, and when I say organizations, many places that call them churches are nothing but organizations, because they say that you're saved, born again, through baptism. That's a lie. They say that you're saved, born again, because you've joined this church. That's a lie. The only way to be born again is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must do that to have salvation. Now, you can choose not to. That's up to you. I'm not going to come and do anything to you because you refuse it. But you're missing out the love and the joy and the peace that comes. And so it's so important that we understand here that, first of all, we come by faith to Jesus. Once we've come by faith to Jesus, then this coming together begins. We enjoy a wonderful fellowship here at this church. It's because the folks are born again. They're saved. They have one desire, and that's to know more about the Lord Jesus. And when we come to know more about the Lord Jesus, then we also come together closer each day because, you see, we're in agreement. Because being born again, now you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's what's lacking in most of these organizations. And again, I'm going to clarify that. I'm speaking of many places that call themselves churches. All you are is a country club or an organization. You're not a church, because a church is made up of born-again believers. That's the church. Born-again believers. And once you have the joy of being born again, then you seek out those that know the Lord Jesus. Now, we have had many things. Many organizations have come into light, and some have went away. Some are still in existence, that desire for all religions to come together, be unified. You can't be unified. You can't unite yourselves with the devil. And that's what you're doing if you're uniting yourself with a group of folks who do not know the Lord Jesus. The church is a body of born-again believers. And once you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. The Spirit of God that teaches me the Word of God is the same Spirit that's going to teach you the Word of God. And that Spirit is never going to teach, never going to proclaim something contrary to itself. So you see, we're always going to agree. Now, we may have some differences of opinion on some matters that the Scripture is not real clear on. But when it comes to the doctrinal stands of the Word of God that we need to be sure of, and that is faith saved by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And it is by God's grace that we're saved, not by works. There are many things that we need to stand upon, that we need to know. Now, my dear friend, please, what are you going to do about Jesus?